Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We have a lot of guests for you today, actually. We will have, at 1040, Kirk Morrison is going to stop by. We will talk to him because a lot of stuff going on in football, by the way, as camps are supposed to open. Players are opting out. What does that mean? Will there be more of a trickle-down effect? There's a lot of football stuff that needs to get sorted out, too, as we're about to embark upon the NFL season here shortly. And then, of course, at 11:15, our buddy Mike Trudell will stop by. We'll talk about the Lakers' scrimmages and what to expect moving forward from the Lakers, how he feels they've gelled. We'll talk a lot about what's going on the court with your Los Angeles Lakers with Mike Trudell at 11:15. At 11:40, our buddy Eduardo Perez, who is an analyst for ESPN on Major League Baseball. He calls games. He's on SportsCenter. He was on First Take this morning. And we'll talk to him about all this baseball mess, which, by the way, it is a mess. And Laura, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do me a favor and just pull up the Rob Manfred cuts here. And I'm just going to tell you which ones I want right out of the gate. Because Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, I tweeted this out late last night on my Twitter, at Sedano. S-E-D-A-N-O, for those of you that don't follow me on Twitter. And I heard his commentary on the MLB Network, and I was sitting there just shaking my head for a lot of reasons. And it's mostly because part of your job as the commissioner is to be able to bridge the gap. I said to be able twice. Sorry about that. Is to be able to bridge the gap between the players and the owners, while also doing what's in the best interest of the game. And sometimes that means potentially siding with one side over the other. I understand the owners pay for his salary. I understand that. But at the end of the day, you are the commissioner of baseball. You're not the commissioner of the owners. And I know there's a Players Association president and all that stuff. But technically, you're superseding all of that. And I feel like yesterday when he made a ton of these comments on the MLB Network with Tom Verducci, that he's either stubborn, naive, or worse, he actually believes the stuff that he's saying. So, Laura, play me the cut first that talks about this isn't a nightmare. Let me hear that one first.
I don't put this in the nightmare category. I mean, obviously, we don't want any player to get exposed. It's not a positive thing, but I don't see it as a nightmare. We built the protocols to allow us to continue to play. That's why we have the expanded rosters. That's why we have the pool of additional players. And we think we can keep people safe and continue to play.
Well, I agree with him in the moment. He said this last night, that it's not a nightmare because just one team. At the moment, the Phillies have tested all negative who played the Marlins. However, sometimes it takes a couple of days for those tests to turn up positive if they've encountered the virus. So the next day or a day after, they probably will continue to have to test them for another several days. You know, I mean, they should be testing them every day anyway. But just to be safe, you know what I'm saying? So on the surface, I agree with him. It's not a nightmare, air quotes, category just yet. However, this morning, the Washington Nationals have decided as a team, they're not flying to Miami for their next series to play the Marlins. So that, Commissioner Manfred, I don't know if that escalates to nightmare category, but it sure as hell gets you to bad dreams and unrestfulness, right? A little restless, potentially. Because when a team is sitting there saying, nope, we're not going down there, and you've had to postpone game after game after game. Look, they seem steadfast, in Major League Baseball that is, to be willing to play this thing out no matter how many games they played and just do this by winning percentages because 16 teams are going to be in the postseason, and I get that. But boy, does this look bad. And it's why David Price of the Dodgers tweeted out what he tweeted yesterday, that he doesn't believe that the players' health is or their best interest is being put at the forefront here. So Rob Manfred has got a lot of stuff to deal with. But here's where Rob Manfred really lost me. Like, I'm okay with him last night saying it's not a nightmare category because, sure, look, they were expecting to have positive tests. I don't think they expected 17 because we had four new ones today on the Marlins. I don't think they expected 17 positive tests on one team. That includes four coaches, but still 13 players. That's half your roster. So I don't think that they expected that. However, when he was asked by Tom Verducci, which is something that we've asked here a bunch of times. We asked it to all our insiders. We asked it yesterday to Alden Gonzalez. We've asked it to Tim Kirkchin. We've asked it to Jeff Passan. We've asked it to anyone that's involved with baseball. Why didn't they revisit the bubble concept? We know the players didn't want to do it when it was 4 or 5 months potentially. But when it was 60 games and 66 nights, why didn't they revisit the bubble concept with Major League Baseball? So Tom Verducci, being the great journalist that he is on MLB Network and Sports Illustrated, asked Rob Manfred that very same question. And here's what Rob Manfred said.
I think the decision that we made with respect to the bubble was the right one. We're different than other sports. We would have had to have multiple locations probably just in order to have enough facilities to make it work. The numbers of people involved and the numbers of people to support the number of players was much, much larger in our sport. The duration would have been much longer. And the longer you go, the more people you have, the less likely it is that you can make the bubble work. You know, I think the NBA and the NHL have an advantage, smaller numbers of players, shorter period of time. And I understand why they did what they did. I'm just not sure it was workable for us.
I mean, really? You couldn't do multiple sites? The NHL's doing multiple sites, right? I mean, I look at this situation and say to myself that Rob Manfred, if he doesn't believe that he could have had a bubble scenario set up, that he shouldn't have at least revisited that, he's either being super stubborn, he's being naive, he's being disingenuous potentially, or even worse, he actually believes what the hell he's saying. By the way, I understand that there are, with the taxi squad or whatever they've added to this in Major League Baseball, 30 guys on a roster. By the way, the MLS has over 20 guys on a roster. The NHL has over 20 guys on a roster. I mean, basketball only has 17, but fine. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that many more people. So if the NHL can do 20-plus guys on a roster and do it in two sites, you're telling me Major League Baseball could not have done it with 30 players on their active roster in two sites? I don't think he's being genuine there. I do believe he's being disingenuous, or worse, again, naive. And maybe it's not just him. Maybe it's just everyone in baseball who decides this stuff with him. Like, are you just kowtowing to him? Are you kowtowing to the players? Like, what the hell is happening here? Because there's no reason to be stubborn. You know what the best leaders do in the world? And I'll give you an example, right? Gay marriage was a huge issue in this country. Right? Still is in some cases. Maybe less so here in California, but was a huge issue. Barack Obama, liberal, okay, liberal president, initially was against gay marriage. And then, after thinking it through, after talking to people, after revisiting the conversation, said, you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong about my stance on gay marriage. It's okay for Rob Manfred to say he's wrong. It's okay for Major League Baseball to say, we didn't do this thing right. And you know what? Maybe we should take a page out of the NHL playbook. Maybe we should take a page out of the MLS playbook. Maybe we should take a page out of the NBA playbook. Because here's what's happening. Major League Baseball is freaking everyone the hell out. Particularly in the NFL. Because the NFL is next up. And all the NFL coaches and players and whatnot are asking questions and wondering what their protocols are. And rightfully so, they should. And they're answering questions about baseball. In the NBA, I did NBA Countdown last night. In the bubble, we were asking people about what they thought about Major League Baseball in comparison to the way the NBA is handling it. And the reaction from the NBA people were like, whew, thank God we've got Adam Silver. again, not to say that the bubble is foolproof, but if the science, if the health experts are all telling you that's your best chance to make this thing work, then you do it. Whew. Good God. Bergman, am I crazy? Or can he just not admit he got this one wrong and they probably should have, they should probably still revisit it while they have the chance?
They should have revisited it the second that any of this started to happen. You're not crazy in the slightest. It's to not even think about going into the bubble thinking that they're different. And yes, you were right. NHL has a maximum of 23 players is not that much different than a maximum of 30 players for baseball. I understand that baseball has a game every single day compared to hockey and the other sports that are, you know, every other day, most like for the most part. But it doesn't matter. You can make this all work with multiple locations. I don't understand how he believes what he's saying is true in the slightest.
Laura, look, you're a woman. And I think that women are way more practical, way more rational. Men are super stubborn. Like, we just are. As, like, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Remember that book from, like, you know, the early 2000s or whatever? And there's no way that anyone can frame this other than Rob Manfred is being stubborn here, right?
Yeah. He just doesn't want to admit and say, hey, I was wrong. This is what we need to change. This is what we need to do moving forward so this doesn't explode into a bigger nightmare than they have. But he's not willing to do that because of ego. That's my
There are 28 players. Now, granted, not all of them are on the active roster. There's about 25 players on each MLS team. If there's 30 players on each Major League Baseball team, Greg, you don't think they could have done a bubble? Like, that? If that's the excuse, remember, he said it. We have more players. We have this. We can't do what the NHL and what the NBA is doing. He didn't even count the MLS. But they have 25 guys on their rosters in the MLS, and they're playing in one site in Orlando.
The whole thing doesn't make any sense. You can make multiple sites. Look, this is the, like you're saying, NHL is doing it in Toronto and in Edmonton. They're having two separate sites. You can do the exact same thing. And don't give me the whole Florida nonsense, because the Orlando bubble is in Orlando, is in Florida.
In a hotspot.
Right. That is still a big time hotspot, and you can still do it there if you're in a bubble. The whole point of the bubble is that people don't go outside of it. And if they do, they have to, you know, quarantine for 4 to 10 days, depending on what they do. So, yeah, I think this he just doesn't want to. I feel like he thinks that at some point they're going to allow fans back in and they're going to make their money back and all these different reasons. It's asinine.
I'll tell you this, Rob Manfred, I just looked it up. Do you know how many active players are on a roster ready to go for the NHL bubble, Greg, on each team?
How many?
30. How many players on a Major League Baseball roster at the current moment?
30.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the commissioner of Major League Baseball is incapable of leading the sport. That's what we've come to at this point. He's citing excuses that don't even exist. If we're talking about roster sizes, the NHL has the same roster size at the current moment. Like, the MLS has close to it. Like, what are we talking about here? Just silly. Anyway.
Let me ask you something here. This is totally off subject.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what you were saying? You were saying that they were cow-whatting to?
Cow-towing.
Isn't it kowtowing?
No, you can kowtow, too.
I'm pretty sure it's kowtow.
Okay. Well, let's look it up.
All right. I mean, I'm looking at it. It's like K-O-U-T-O-U is how they pronounce it. I'm just saying, if you're going to give me that R-E nonsense,
oh my
I can
God.
Come at you for the kowtow.
Really, Greg?
Greg.
Yes.
Are you serious?
I am 100% serious.
Wow.
Greg, that is not even close. You kowtow. That's how you do it. Kowtow. Kowtow is the way you say it. Are you serious? Really,
yeah, I'm being... It's kowtow. It's kowtow. Kowtow. Yes, it is kowtow.
Okay, great. If you say so. I've heard plenty of people call it kowtow before.
And I've heard Ari.
Nobody said Ari. Nobody. Nobody has ever said Ari. All right? That's like kowtow, kowtow could be tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Ari and Ari are not tomato, tomato.
It's right. Funny. I asked Michelle about it last night. I'm like, how do you pronounce A-W-R-Y? She's like, Ari? I mean, sorry. Oh, she said Ari and made me look like a moron too. So, yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you're trying. I am trying.
I'm looking. I'm looking for something.
There are actually people that say kowtow as opposed to Ari and Ari. Yeah. So anyhow.
Fine.
Are you excited to play the Astros, the cheating Astros tonight?
Ooh, I am excited. I wish that I could be there to boo. It's obviously not possible. And I hope they can find some way to, if people in Houston that are some Dodger fans can boo for us. But I really hope for a win. It's also Walker Buehler's birthday, and he's going today, so that's a really big deal for it. Let's go Dodgers.
There's real hatred here. I know it's been toned down some, but there is real hatred. So I'm supposed to go on a Houston radio station this afternoon. One of their afternoon drive show on their big station, 610 over there. They're gonna. What do you want me to do? How should I go at? Should I go at them?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, not go at them, but just basically tell them, like, yeah, you guys are cheaters.
Subtle shade, yes, man.
No, not even subtle shade. Just call them cheaters. Just straight up call them cheaters. Let them know that this is how the rest of the world
feels. They're going to argue with me about Kenley Jansen's game two. They're going to argue with me about all the – but I'm just going to say my end argument ender is game five. 54 off-speed pitches they laid off from Clayton Kershaw. They didn't swing at one.
Yeah, if you can't use game two. First of all, that was also at Dodger Stadium. And Kenley Jansen says, yeah, I threw a bad pitch.
Right.
It happens. Right. It's totally different. That's, going back that far is just ridiculous. Go after them.
Tell game
them
five is the game.
Use the word cheaters.
Right, but
cheaters.
Game five is the game, right?
Yes, game five is absolutely the game.
That's the game. Because that 13th, if the Dodgers win that game, they win in six, series over.
Yep. All done. And he had the Clayton Kershaw had leads, multiple
leads in that game. Yes. And so did Kenta Maeda.
Yep.
And Kenley Jansen.
Now I so, want to beat them so badly even more.
Let's open it up to the phones. 877-710-ESPN. When I go on this Houston radio station this afternoon, I'm going to go on. I'm trying to think, what's the time? Let me look at when the producer texts me. The producer wanted me to go on at 4:30 Central, which is 2:30 Pacific. So it's perfect. So I'm going to go on that station, 610, which is the big station in Houston, at 2:30 Eastern. At 2:30, I'm sorry, Pacific. So 877-710-ESPN. Help me form my argument, because you know what they're going to come to me with. They're going to come to me with Kenley Jansen. What else, Greg, will they come? What is the other Astros excuse?
It's going to just be Clayton Kershaw falling apart in the playoffs. They're going to continue going over that.
Right.
Even though he was great in game one. He was fantastic in game one. So give him that too.
Right. He was unbelievable in game one. You're right. And then in game five, when he came out there, he had a 4-0 lead. He had multiple leads. And your cheating whistling
ended up trash cans.
And their trash cans ended up changing the series. So yep. I need the audience's help to help me. It's like debate prep. That's what I got to be ready for. We're going to do debate prep for when I go on the Houston station today. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Plus, coming up next, the NBA. ESPN's NBA panel picks their champions. Find out how many and who actually picked the Lakers. I'll tell you this, there's not that many of them, and I'll tell you who picked who in just a few moments. Sedano Show rolls on, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier, helping you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Holy moly. So if you want to help me with my debate prep when I go on the Houston station today, I'm going to defend the honor of the Dodgers. You can at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. It is National Chocolate Milk Day today. By the way, when I was a kid, the only way I would drink milk was chocolate milk.
It's really good. I won't have milk, period, now. But
I only drink like almond milk now.
Yeah.
And I don't really drink milk. Like, I don't believe you should be drinking, like, milk that often. First of all, it's not good for you. Second of all, it's kind of tastes gross, to be honest with you.
It really does. And if you're older than, like, 8 years old, I don't think you need any of the things that are in milk.
Yeah, I agree with that, too, actually. You know what I mean? What I'm saying? But, yeah, I'm not a – but chocolate milk. Now, anything chocolate I can do.
Well, because chocolate is delicious. Whoa, whoa, Laura, what's that? You don't like – oh, you don't like chocolate,
I don't like chocolate.
You weirdo?
Wait a second. Hold on a second. You can't ride a bike.
Okay.
You
this
don't
one
like
again.
Chocolate. What? I mean, what was the other thing that we learned the
I'm
other day?
I'm allergic to peanut butter.
You're allergic to peanut butter? My goodness, woman.
Worst childhood ever.
I'm serious. I mean, not those true. Are the three key elements of any childhood, right? Chocolate, peanut butter, and bicycle riding.
Okay, I'm allergic to peanut butter. Chocolate, I used to love it when I was little, not anymore.
Yeah.
And the bike thing, I mean, Ari Helwani doesn't know how to ride a bike. So come on, guys, back off. It's okay. We're cool people. What can I say?
Yeah.
I'm not convincing you guys, huh?
No.
No, your childhood is brutal.
No, that's weird. Yeah, it's just super weird. Anyway, Greg, are you ready for the NBA Finals, Conference Finals and NBA Finals predictions here?
Oh, yeah. What you got?
Okay, so here we go. We've got – I'm just going to let you know what I picked in the East. I picked Milwaukee and Philly. I think Philly
still
is
Philly.
I think – you know why? I think Philly is one of these teams that they're either going to get swept in the first round or they're getting to the conference finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no right. in-between for them. Like, it's either boom or bust. Like, nothing – like, I'm telling you. I kind of like the Shake Milton move, like putting him at point guard, even though Ben Simmons is really going to handle the ball a lot. Because he's a really good shooter. And what they've needed is a shooter on that starting unit. And he's shooting like 40-something percent. So that's why I picked them. But do you want me to go through the West and all the different analysts?
Yes, I do.
Now, I want you to mark them down.
One.
I want you to create a column. I want you to create a Lakers column, a Clippers column, okay? And then other.
All right. Give me
because maybe somebody
second.
Picked someone that wasn't the Lakers. I'm going to see. Let me see if someone picked anyone that's not Lakers or Clippers. Someone did. There's only one person that picked the Rockets. So I'll just leave it at that.
Lakers, Clippers, other.
Lakers, Clippers. Lakers, Clippers, and then was one person with the Rockets. So okay. I'm going to tell you who picked the Clippers and who picked the Lakers. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Jerry Bembry picked the Clippers. Nick DePaula picked the Clippers. Nick Friedel picked the Clippers. Jonathan Givony, who is our draft guru at ESPN, picked the Lakers. Okay? Jonathan Givony picked the Lakers. Andrew Hahn picked the Clippers. Chris Herring from 538 picked the Clippers. Baxter Holmes, former Laker beat writer, picked the Clippers. Andrew Lopez, who covers the New Orleans Pelicans, picked the Lakers. Okay? Tim McMahon, who covers the Mavericks and the Rockets and the Spurs, the Texas Triangle for us, picked the Lakers over the Clippers. It's all Lakers-Clippers except for one. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, friend of the program, picked the Lakers over the Clippers. You should write down who these people are that picked the Lakers, by the way, just so we
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I have them written down.
Kevin Pelton, the human computer, who's been on the show, friend of the show as well, picked the Clippers over the Lakers. George Sedano.
That's the important one.
Let's wait till the end to do that one. Andre Snellings. He picked the Lakers, but over the Rockets. So that should be like double points, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because he didn't even let the Clippers go to the finals, the conference finals.
He's right because they're not going to get out of the second round. All right, so I got a times two for Snellings.
Yeah, times two for Snellings. Marcus Spears. Clippers over the Lakers. Eric Woodyard, who covers the Pacific Northwest region for us at ESPN. Lakers, Eric Woodyard over the Clippers. And Royce Young, Clippers over the Lakers. George Sedano, are you ready?
It better be the right choice, George.
Laura, do we have like some sort of drum roll? I mean, that's asking a lot for the last second situation before we get to the calls. But I was just wondering if we have a drum roll of sorts so I can bestow upon the audience my conference finals, Western Conference Finals pick. You know what? There it is. It's coming. Here comes the pick. George Sedano, Lakers over Clippers.
There you go. Good choice, George. Good choice. We would have had a major issue with Laura and I if you chose anything other than the Lakers.
All right, final very tally. True. 9 people picked the Clippers, 7 picked the Lakers. Now, do you want to get to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I do, but I'm also going to say that the Lakers have 8 because of Andre Snelling's getting the times 2.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to tell you real quick. I picked the Lakers over the Bucks in the championship. 8 of our experts that I named earlier picked the Clippers. Do you want me to name those people?
No, it's okay.
Okay. 4 picked the Bucks. 3 picked the Lakers, including myself. I will tell you who picked the Lakers other than me.
Yes.
Eric Woodyard picked the Lakers. I picked the Lakers. And Tim McMahon picked the Lakers.
I always liked Tim McMahon.
Yeah. So there you go.
And then the Bucks were the other one?
Bucks had 4. Bucks had more picks than the Lakers. 8 for the Clippers, 4 for the Bucks, 3 for the Lakers, 1 for the Raptors, actually.
1 for the Raptors. Interesting.
All right, let's go to the phones. People are going to help me with my debate prep here. Let's go to Chris in L.A. as I'm going on this Houston radio station to defend the Dodgers' honor. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, so they're probably going to say, hey, look, yeah, we still had to hit the pitches. You still give up leads. What I think the insidiousness of their cheating was is that I think, and you might have to do a little research about this, is that Clayton Kershaw threw 33 straight sliders without
54 off-speed pitches. 54 off-speed pitches, yeah.
Something like that without them even offering at it.
Right,
that's the insidiousness of this, of the cheating.
Yeah. Nobody lays off that many pitches.
Something that you've done for 10 years, dominated at a level for 10 years, and you doubt yourself.
Yeah. Nobody lays off that many pitches. That's a great call, Chris. Thanks. Appreciate it, man. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Let me go to Austin in Pasadena. Austin, how am I defending the Dodgers' honor on this Houston radio station?
Okay, George, look, man, I love you, but you're overthinking this a ton. This isn't some, like, wild rumor that bitter Dodger fans are holding on to and just grasping at straws. Major League Baseball made an investigation into this and found proof of cheating.
You're right. You're right. You're right. No need to overthink the room.
Exactly. They're going to come at you and they're going to say, like, oh, you guys are just bitter. Like, no, this isn't QAnon. This isn't some wild conspiracy so we can feel better about ourselves. Like, there is a whole, I read the document. There is proof that they cheated.
Right.
That, like you pointed out, the data's all there in game 5 to show that they did cheat. I mean, we have video evidence that's on that guy, John Boy, on Twitter. Like, everything is there. There is no, like, you just need to bring the receipts, man. It's not, I honestly don't think it's any harder than that.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Let's go to Andy in Malibu. Andy, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to ask you the question that everybody throws back at me, and that's, like, you know, calling pitches, looking at people's hand signals and stuff like that, that's a part of baseball. A lot of people have been telling me that. And that it's cheating, but it's not really cheating because it's a part of the game.
Right, but the electronic stuff is the stuff that's cheating.
Oh, the electronics. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, right, I mean, they used electronics to get it done too, you know? They used cameras and things like that. Like, it's just crazy. And the stuff was in the dugout. There was, like, a feed in the dugout. It's wild. But thank you, Andy. Appreciate it, man. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Matt in the OC. Matt, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent, sir. Thank you for asking.
My biggest one is Altuve. How is it at home? He hits the, you know, right out of the ball, and he can't hit anything away. His batting average, two separate batting averages, home and away.
Ooh, Greg, can you look up his splits during the playoffs, home and the road, please? Can you do that for me?
Yes, I can do that.
That
right
would
now.
Be great. That is a good argument, Matt. I will have Greg look into that. Thank you so much. Stay healthy and stay safe. Okay. Do we have Jim, who's actually in Houston, listening on the app? Is that who we have, Laura? Oh, Jim in Houston. Go ahead, Jim. Defend your Astros.
Yeah. I've been living in Houston for a while, but I just want to warn you that they're very delusional over here on that radio. So just be aware.
Oh, you're a Dodger fan living in Houston.
Yeah, I'm a Dodger fan living in Houston.
They're delusional. Well, that's why I want to be prepared. That's why I want to go into this thing today and go in and make sure I'm ready to fight with them if I have to. If I have to.
Yeah. That's all the advice I wanted to give you. Just be aware. They're going to say we're crybabies, this and that. But, yeah, they still believe that they're really champions.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate it, man. Stay healthy and stay safe, particularly out there, man.
Thank you.
All right? You got it. Take care. 877-710-ESPN. We'll have that throughout the show. You can help my debate prep. Coming up next, the quarterback tiers. I love the quarterback tier conversation. They've got quarterback tiers. Where's Jared Goff? This is always the great question about when the Rams paid Jared Goff. Where do the experts, 50 coaches and executives, voted on this list on The Athletic? Mike Sando, who used to work at ESPN. Where do they think Jared Goff lands on this list? We'll get to that in just a second. Plus, I also want to ask you a question about during coronavirus. Give me the place you've avoided the most during coronavirus that you're like, I can't do that one. Can't do that one. Kirk Morrison joins us at 10:40. We'll talk to him about that and much more. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kirk Morrison's going to join us at 10:40. Mike Trudell at 11:15. And our pal Eduardo Perez, ESPN MLB analyst, will join us at 11:40. So, Bergman, you have those splits that the gentleman asked for Altuve. And for those that don't know, I'm going on the Houston afternoon, the big station in Houston, 610. Their afternoon drive show wanted me to come on to talk Dodgers-Astros. And I'm expecting it to maybe, I'm not going to push the envelope, but I'm expecting them to maybe get a little contentious when it comes to it. So I want to be prepared. So I need you guys to help me with the debate prep. And one of the things that a caller just brought up, Matt in the OC, I believe, was the splits of Altuve in home and the road in that particular series. So what do we have, Greg?
All right, so Jose Altuve in the playoffs. Now, at home, he batted .472 with a .513 on-base percentage and over 1,000 slugging percentage.
At home.
At home, which is insane. 6 home runs, 12 RBIs, and 17 hits. Now, on the road, .143. .268 on base, .229 slugging, a below .500 OPS with 5 hits, 1 home run.
Oh my God.
And 2 RBIs.
Oh my God. That's wild. That's crazy.
That's
I never thought of that.
300 points. Over 300 points.
Here's what you
lower.
Need to do, Greg. You need to text that to me. Just text that to me, and that way while I'm on the phone with them, if they bring up anything, I'm going to say, "Your boy, Jose Altuve, here's the deal." And you know what? You might as well look it up for some of these other guys too, right?
Like you want Carlos Correa? I got Carlos
Correa. What's Carlos Correa?
At home, he batted .371 with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs. On the road, .211, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs.
Oh, what about Bregman?
Alex Bregman, here we go. He had a .273 batting average at home, but he had 2 home runs and 6 RBIs and an .857 OPS away. .154, woo! 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, and a .500 OPS.
Wow. You need to send me all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna.
And then another thing that you can bring up to them too is Houston lost one game at home in the World Series, and they lost it to Rich Hill in game 4. Right. Now, Rich Hill is not some kind of power pitcher where he's trying to hold you off balance by throwing, you know, off-speed pitches and lots of fastballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
He throws strictly curveballs and throws in a fastball every once in a while.
Right, but it's like low 90s. Yeah.
Right, so you basically have to assume that every pitch is an off-speed pitch, so it does, right. their whole thing doesn't work. And
right.
That's why they were able to hold them off.
Right.
But not for these other guys.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going in there. I'm kicking ass and taking names.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to listen to it. You better send me the link so I can listen live.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, 2:30 on 610 in Houston. That's where I'm going on. That's their big Houston radio station. All right. So that's good stuff. I asked a question, and I'd love to get it from the audience at 877-710-ESPN. What is the one place, Greg Bergman, you've absolutely avoided during coronavirus that you're like, can't do that one? And it's something that you either have to do at some point, or have done regularly, you know, just the one place you're like, don't know, can't do that one.
See, I don't go over a lot of places regularly, but I do go to restaurants and movie theaters a lot, and I'm not going into any type of movie theater whatsoever.
Okay.
Because I don't go to the gym. Otherwise, I would avoid it. But I don't go.
So the reason I bring that up is because Eduardo Perez is going to join us at 11:40, and he was going to join us earlier in the show, but he couldn't because he has a dentist appointment. I'm like, ooh, man. He's like, I'm a little worried, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I've canceled my dentist appointment. I've actually shut them down twice. They've come back to me. And he's like, I've shut it down three times, but now I feel like I got to go. And I'm like, all right, good luck. I said, we'll talk to you and your clean teeth then at 11:40. And so that's one for me. Like, I've just, like, I haven't felt comfortable. Even though I like my dentist, they're nice people. But who really likes going to the dentist? Like, let's be real. Nobody likes going to the dentist. Like, literally, the post office and the dentist are the two places where people say the most, or people say they least like to go to the most. Except Laura, we found out during the break. Laura, you like to go to the dentist?
I do. I like my teeth to look good, be clean, so I love the dentist. And before you guys make me look crazy by saying that, the reason why I love the dentist is because the dentist never gave me bad news. I always got good news from the dentist, and when I used to visit the doctor, it wasn't that case because I used to be sick. So for me, the dentist, it's like, I love going in there, I get my teeth cleaned, and I'm out. And there's never any issues with my teeth.
While that is a very touching story as to why you like the dentist, yeah, that's still just wild that you like the dentist. Because the actual process of going to the dentist, of them stretching your mouth out, scratching stuff off your teeth where you can hear like the sound of metal up against your teeth if they have to scratch something off. Or just even the devices they use to polish your teeth. Like, all that stuff is anguish. None of that stuff is fun or nice.
Okay, I didn't think of all that. But the thing is, what kind? Damn, y'all got bad teeth.
No, like, it's not about bad teeth. That's how it works. They got a deep cleaning is a deep cleaning.
Well, you shouldn't be having deep cleanings that often.
We should do it twice a year.
Yes, but like there's people that have it a lot, and those are painful. So I'll give you that. But the regular cleanings are not. You just go, you get your teeth cleaned, and you're out. It's not a big deal. I don't understand why you guys hate the dentist so much.
You know, when you go to the dentist, you get in there, they say you got a 10 o'clock appointment. So you get there at 9:45 or even 9:30. And then you don't even get to go sit in the chair till easily 10:30, 10:45 sometime.
Yeah, but you know what?
O'clock.
Doctor's offices are the same way.
Yeah, but it seems to happen more often at the dentist that they make you sit there and wait to get your teeth. It's like the anguish that you're waiting for, you got to think about for an extra hour.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my dentist and thank him because I don't ever have to wait over like 5 or 10 minutes to get in there.
Well, that's a nice dentist.
Special.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That is a nice dentist. Yeah. Anyway, 877-710-ESPN, the place you're avoiding the most. Is it the dentist, by the way? I'm curious. Is Laura wild for liking her dentist? We'll throw it to the phones in a little bit. Greg, here are the Mike Sando Athletic quarterback tiers. Every year they come out with this. 50 executives and coaches mixed in here vote on these guys, and they rank them, and then he comes up with the different tiers. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 tiers of quarterbacks. Okay, let's go to the first tier. There are 5 quarterbacks. Can you name the 5 quarterbacks in the first tier?
It's going to be Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson.
You got 2 of those wrong.
Okay. So then did Drew Brees in there?
Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson are not in the first tier, according to 50 NFL executives and coaches. The top 5 tier 1 are Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Deshaun Watson.
Hmm. Wow, Deshaun Watson over Lamar Jackson.
Deshaun Watson is a better passer than Lamar Jackson.
I mean, Lamar Jackson had some pretty nice
passes. He's the MVP.
Last year.
I think he should be in tier 1 too. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Brady should be in tier 1. But I do think Lamar Jackson should be there. I was a little surprised that he wasn't. But like, I do think I would rather have Deshaun Watson than Lamar Jackson, personally.
I mean, is there anybody who, if you're down by, you know, 4 points and you have a minute left, who do you trust more than Tom Brady to have the ball at the end of the game? Nobody.
Pretty much everybody. He threw a pick 6 in his last game, Greg. He's old now. He's not that good anymore.
For the most part,
he's week 4 on last year, he played like Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah. Didn't have a lot of I mean there's reasons for it, I guess, but I just if you're down by 4 with a minute left, I say put the ball in the hands of Tom Brady every time until he retires.
I guess. Not me.
And I like Brady. I've been a big Brady fan, but I don't know if I feel it that way. Let me go to Jason in Downey. Jason, what's up?
Hey, Jorge, what's going on? So this is a comment on the things that I've avoided during COVID. Two things that I absolutely love that me and my wife love to do. One, like Bergman said, is go to the movies. But I have a feeling I won't be going. I'm not going to go see Tenet. I'll find an illegal stream just like
Bergman
does.
Well, they postponed it. They postponed it, Jason. They've postponed it for a while again, Tenet.
Oh, perfect. And another thing we like to do is go get massages.
Yes.
That I miss it so much.
Yeah. And, I threw up my back, dude. I can't get a massage. Like, it's crazy. I won't do it.
Back roller. And then to stop, you mentioned the post office. I work as a mail carrier. I believe we are the only place that we will not deny customers if you don't have a mask on. So we're trying to prevent it so much, but if a customer rolls in without a mask, we can't legally tell them, you cannot enter, especially in the state of the way the post office is right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of rough.
Wow. Yep. Wow. Well, Jason, thank you for doing it. I referenced the post office because generally they're pretty packed, but nowadays maybe they're not as packed. And I want the post office to continue for the rest of my life and beyond. So we appreciate what you do, brother. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate all you guys. Have a good day.
Right, take care. Guys, let me know when Kirk is on. We'll talk to Kirk for a little bit. I want to talk some football with him about these tiers. Jamie in Santa Ana in the interim. Jamie.
Hey, how you doing, Sedano? Killing me, Sedano. It's Jaime.
Jaime. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, back in effect. Hey, I got a couple things to talk about. First of all, she's not crazy. I kind of like going to the dentist, too. I like
what?
Teeth. I always have since I was a kid. Second of all, I think the place that I miss the most is out on the baseball field coaching these kids, Santa Ana Pony, man. Yeah. I really miss the whole family, the whole environment of the kids being out there, not to mention my kids not being on video games all day long. I'm also with LZ on. I hope Dodgers hit every single one of those guys on that team, and Sedano, you give them hell when you go over there. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Jaime. Appreciate it. Stay healthy. Stay safe. All right, we're going to talk to Kirk Morrison here in a second. Kirk Morrison joins us now, our football guru, the friend of the program, Principal Morrison, hanging out with us here as the kids. Are the kids back at daycare or camp, or is that still going? Because I know things have changed recently.
Right now, currently, we just got a little bit of time off before school starts back up, George. So we're enjoying some time away. Went to the zoo last week in San Diego.
Now. Nice.
So we're just finding some activities to do over the next couple weeks before we get back into the school routine.
Gotcha. Did you see the Mike Sando quarterback tier list?
I saw some of them, yes. That's always a big topic of discussion every single year because of what?
They leave someone off, right? Somebody gets
they
left
leave
off
somebody someone. Off, right? Yeah. And it's always like tiers and things like that. And for me, I'm all about wins and losses. How does your team react? And then sometimes you have who's elite, who's not elite, but it's always great for discussion, though.
Okay,
anybody you like on there?
Well, in his first tier, he has Mahomes, yes. Wilson, Rodgers, Breeze, and Watson. No Lamar Jackson. Does that surprise you?
No, hasn't worked enough hours yet, George. Just be honest. That was the old quote my old veterans used to tell me, right? You got to work more hours. Basically, I want to see more of it. I need to see it again for another season. It's one thing to have one great year, which he had in the MVP year, but we don't go off with just one great year. I want to see repeated success. And so I think this is the year that maybe a Lamar Jackson can elevate to a top tier quarterback in the NFL, but you got to do it for more than one season. And I think this will be more of the tell all for Lamar Jackson, but I kind of like that top tier already. It's still, having Rodgers in there because I know some people are down on Aaron Rodgers, maybe whether it's Madden or maybe it's, other places have put him, ranked him lower, but still Aaron Rodgers, still one of the best quarterbacks in this league. Mahomes, I think, is the best, but those guys who are in that top tier, they affect the game more so than any other quarterback, I think, in the NFL.
So tier two is a quarterback that can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently as tier one. He can handle pure passing situations and doses and or possesses other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game. That's Brady, Lamar Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, and Philip Rivers. Any issues with those names there in that particular group?
No, not at all. I think same with Tom Brady. I think a lot of it too has to do with their age, right? You look at the Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger. You mentioned Tom Brady. I mean, those guys are a little bit older at quarterbacks, and we know they're not going to run the football, like take off and run and do anything dynamic. And I think that's what puts them there. And I think, again, hitting on Lamar Jackson, though, George, seriously, I think that they want to see some success in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's been to two playoff games, and he's 0-2 right now. A lot of this, too, has a lot to do with how you perform in the playoffs. And even Carson Wentz, I know he won a playoff game last year, but, man, it's tough to think about what Nick Foles did the previous year when he was out and not necessarily this year. So I think playoff success and doing on deep playoff runs definitely help you when it comes to this list.
Kirk Morrison hanging out with us here as we're talking about the quarterback tier list. And by the way, Pro Football Focus didn't mess around too. They have their own list that came out today. They're like, the hell with you, Athletic. We're coming out with our own and our analytics version of it. So we'll compare those notes in a second. Tier three is where Jared Goff is. A tier three quarterback is a legitimate starter but needs a heavier running game and or defensive component to win. A lower volume drop back passing offense suits him best. Kyler Murray, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Ryan Tannehill, Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, and Nick Foles, and Jones. Who's Jones? Who am I missing there?
Jones. That's Daniel Jones in New
Daniel
York.
Daniel Jones. Yes, the Giants. Daniel Jones. So that's tier three. Do you like that? And should anyone else be in that group, or is that group solid enough for you?
Tier three, it's another term for system quarterback. That's all it is. Let's be honest. Look at all those. Read those
names. But you think Kyler Murray? I think Kyler Murray can be more than a system quarterback. I think that kid's going to be really good.
Correct. But I think, again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning, right? He hasn't worked enough hours yet.
Gotcha.
We need to see more hours put in. And now we're like, okay, now we can elevate him. But right now, is he a system of what? Cliff Kingsbury and his offense that we've only seen for 1 year. A lot of these guys can elevate themselves, but for right now, what we've seen is that when these players are at their best is when the entire offense is working in unison. It's not because of their particular play, but you're looking at, you mentioned Goff, which we know here in Los Angeles. It's Goff playing well. It was got Todd Gurley playing well. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks when he was still on the team. The offensive line was healthy. Like, everything was working in unison, and I think that's where Jared Goff puts himself at a tier three. This year, we'll see without the offensive line that he's had in years past, no Todd Gurley, no Brandon Cooks. This is where Jared Goff can elevate himself because he has to be above the system for him to gain, I think, some more tiers in this tier of quarterbacks.
Michael Thompson just texted me. He says, Lamar's not in tier one. That's like saying oxygen isn't tier one. Who picked these tiers? Bill Polian?
Come on, man. Michael Thompson knows this, right? We don't crown guys after one single year, right? He's seen it with the baby Lakers. We wanted to crown all of the players as soon as they got drafted, right? Oh, let's crown Brandon Ingram. We're like, no, let's just give it time. Give it time. Let's see what he does in year two, in year three. And then we've seen him blossom now that he's in New Orleans with the Pelicans. But if we expected somebody right away to be like, oh, he's going to be great. Yes, they have success. Lamar Jackson had success. But if he does it again, right, if he does it again for a second year in a row, then he puts himself in a glorified company like Patrick Mahomes. That's why we believe in Patrick Mahomes so much, is because we saw what he did in his first year. We was like, okay, that was okay. MVP, we got it. All right. But all of a sudden, he did it again in year two as a starter, right? And they were like, okay, yeah, that guy's different. All right, yeah, I can see it now. So that's where Lamar Jackson has to do it for one more year. Then we can start to feel better about, Lamar Jackson being a long-term fix as a tier one quarterback.
So Pro Football Focus has their own tiers, and I'm curious to see how you think that their model compares to the Sando model on The Athletic. Now, Sando spoke to 50 executives and coaches, right? He polled them. And in this thing, they're in Pro Football Focus, clearly they're using their own analytics. Chris Collinsworth owns the site now, or is part owner of the site. They only have two quarterbacks in tier one. They got Mahomes and Russell Wilson. So who's tier one do you agree with more?
I'm still going to go with
the five with Sando, or the two with Pro Football Focus?
I'm going to go with Santos, five, because I think there are more quarterbacks who do more, you know, for their teams. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, because, look, you take Aaron Rodgers off that squad last year in Green Bay, they're not playing in the NFC Championship game. Let's just be real. But I think when you look at Pro Football Focus, I've had this discussion a lot. Right now, the two best quarterbacks in the NFL right now are Russell Wilson and Pat Mahomes. I mean, that it's not even – I mean, it's those two, and then there's the next group. And everybody wants to say, well, Lamar Jackson. I said, look, I get it. He had a great season. I want to see it again, because when I always look at it like this, George. This is what helps me kind of clear my mind when I look at a lot of this stuff, right? I close my eyes, and I really just go blank, right? And I say, Kansas City Chiefs, Seattle Seahawks. Oh, this week they're playing without their quarterbacks this week, right? And I'm like, that's not going to bode well for Seattle. That's not going to be good for Kansas City. But there's those other quarterbacks that you mentioned that maybe in that tier two, tier three, that if they don't have a quarterback for a weekend, I can still see them possibly getting by with the backup. Right. I don't know if it's like that with Kansas City. Or I mean, actually, I do know what it looks like. Remember that last year they had – remember Matt Moore started at quarterback – Remember when Patrick Mahomes went out with the knee injury that he got for diving into the pile on a – remember the fourth and one he was against Denver? So we saw what it looked like when they missed games last year with the kneecap situation. It didn't look good. Same thing with Russell Wilson, even though Russell has not missed games. That's why just those two are at the top. I don't want to call them top tier by themselves, but I look at them as just the top two quarterbacks in the NFL, and I can see why Pro Football Focus put them there.
Two quick ones on the way out. I got about a minute here for both. Number one, the Patriots have had six players opt out. My immediate thought is, yes, they want to be healthy, but B, Belichick's probably like, well, you know, if we're going to be bad this year, this is probably a good year for us to be bad. So which side do you believe more? And also, do you think more players in the NFL will opt out?
I think some guys are really looking at this opt-out, taking it very, very seriously. I think – but I've always said this, George. I look at the guys who are more established, and I felt like this way with the NBA and its bubble. I always felt that the guys who are a little more established, older veterans that have, you know, racked up a lot of money so far, can take maybe a season off and then be able to refresh and hold their contract over for next year. But I think younger players don't necessarily have that, like the young Zions and John Moran, those guys are still trying to make a name for themselves. So I can see why older players who have families and things like that are higher risk. I can see them definitely doing more opt-outs. I just look at Belichick and those guys. Look, they every year they always have something in which they have to – some type of adversity. This year is going to be the same thing. So now if they do win or they do have a lot of success, George, it's like – was it all about Brady or was it all about the system for with Bill Belichick?
Jamal Adams trade. What did you make of it? Quickly.
Tone setter. They needed somebody in that back end. Look, we all knew the Seattle Seahawks as what? The Legion of Boom. Once they went away from the Legion of Boom, they haven't been that much of a force defensively. You know, Bobby Wagner's right. Still there, but not the force in the back end.
Good
they
point.
Needed an enforcer. They needed the Legion of Boom. I guess 2.0, and Jamal Adams is a guy. Look, I'll tell you this. He takes no stuff, man. He is a hard-hitting safety that does a lot for them. And for Seattle to go out and do this, Pete Carroll was definitely Pete Carroll's a defensive backs coach. So he saw something in Jamal Adams that he thinks can put his defense as one of the hopefully top defenses to go along with Russell Wilson and what they've got going offensively.
And lastly, what is the place you have avoided the most or have avoided completely during coronavirus that you either feel is a necessary place that you would go to in the real world or a place you would frequent? It could be either or.
Well, I know they filed for class action bankruptcy, but I was always a big fan of Chuck E. Cheese. So I have not been to Chuck E. Cheese.
The Morrison crew were going to Chuck E. Cheese all the time. Okay.
Yeah, no, we're not going to Chuck E. Cheese right now. No, but like I said, we did get out last week. We went to the zoo. We wore our masks. We saw the giraffes and the rhinos and we saw some lions and tigers and all that stuff. So yeah, definitely it's been great. But I haven't been to Magic City, so I think I'll see.
I heard the wings are fire. I heard the wings are fire. So anyway.
Yeah, that's all I'm hearing. Those wings are enough to keep you out of the keep you quarantined for 10 days. So
no
that's
doubt
what I've heard.
No doubt. Kirk Morrison, friend of the program, our NFL expert and guru here on the station. Thank you so much, brother. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
All right. You too, my man. All good.
Take care. All right. Coming up next, what you need to know. We're back in 4 minutes.